Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, August 8th, 2010. So anyhow, tonight we're going to have a great little thing here, so I'm going to start it up, and it's very informative. This will be fun. Okay, Dr. Bell, we're looking for you there. Okay. You coming up there? Hey. There you are.
I would take a tablespoon of this. But the only salt, is, don't take this salt you buy in the store. If you want to test salt, if you take
talking salt, about salt,
salt and put it in a glass of water, it will not go in the solution. Kosher salt will go in. If you buy kosher salt in the store, but I don't recommend that you use kosher salt, and I'll tell you why. It's because it doesn't have all the trace minerals in it.
How about if you've just gone to a salt mine and you have your salt? No.
The only salt that's fit for human consumption is sea salt. Now what the cells, I'll tell you how the cells do it. They have a pond like this. Now this is the way nature creates salt, and it has to be done according to the laws of nature. And this is the cells are the only ones that know how to do this. I know how they do it because I have a book that shows me. I have a book written by a guy that works in one of the farms. It's written in French. What it does is it tells you how they create salt. And this is according to cosmic law. This is according to the laws of nature. What they do is they have a pond that looks like this. And what it does is it runs in a figure eight. And you're talking thousands of acres of land, of salt marshes. And what happens is a stormfront comes in, and it's going to rain. See, what happens is the salt has to sit at a brine, which is water and sea salt. And what happens is the ultraviolet radiation from the sun evaporates the water on the salt. And what it leaves is a perfect cubical crystalline structure, perfect cube. Cube is formed by solar evaporation, which is ultraviolet radiation. And what happens is when a storm front comes in, the water is going to drop on these salt marshes to interfere with the solar evaporation. What happens is the salt, because the salt's interchanging, the salt's giving off gases. There's 9 inert gases in Celtic sea salt. And what these gases do is they go up into the atmosphere, and what it causes is the storm front to move this way. And none of this water interferes, it doesn't rain to interfere with the solar evaporation process. So what they do is they go out there with a wooden hole, and they scrape off all this salt, and they pile it in piles like this. They put it here on these little islands. These are little inlets here. And the water flows in figure eight. But this, actually this should deal with here like this. This should be said out here. Because what it does is it goes like this. It weaves in and out like this in a figure eight. There's a company in California called Mega. I'm surprised that they haven't gone after these people. Because what they're doing is they're opening up a clinic down in Mexico. And what they're doing is you can go down there and get an intravenous feeding. You can cure any malady within. Like a woman had cholera, she went to Renee Quinton, and he gave her an intravenous feeding of saline serum. See, saline serum is a life force in the body. It's called the water of life in the scriptures.
So where can you get the salt? Through what company?
It's called the Salt and Grain Society. They're in Magahalia, California. You spell that M-A-G-A-L-L-I-A.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Of course.
Question. Sodium chloride and sodium, like when you get it to restaurants, you like the styrofoam. Is that the sodium we're talking about?
No.
You know
the product bomb on Hiroshima and all the people that had a lot of sodium chloride in the body replied to lots of radiation because of the cubicle. What it did is maintain cubicle radiation. And remember, radiation cannot penetrate the cube. Waves furniture, which is what radiation is, so it's the wave pressure field in the curve, cannot penetrate the cube. What they do is they reflect off. And so what the body does is instead of absorbing radiation, what it does is it reflects it off.
Right, and we're talking sodium chloride then is a salt, which is not regular. You can't do with any regular salt or thiosulfate or
anything on the market, but there's only one company in the world that enforces it. They have a sole importing line because they go over there every year and talk to these salt farmers. They're set the ancient Celts, the Celts which came out of Ireland. All this knowledge came from Ireland.
What's the old homeopathic remedies prepared in salt too, isn't it?
Well, before the FDA got a hold of it, see what they do is now they set up homeopathic according to UST standards. And UST standards is US pharmacopoeia. And what US pharmacopoeia does is they maintain 2% purity standards. What they say is that 98% of the trace metals are impurities, so we're going to remove them. Because in order to market it, put it out of the market, you've got to have purity. So what they're doing is they're selling it to the public on the guise that they're purifying it. Isn't that the biggest one for our media for liver? You know what they're doing with this 92% of the trace minerals? They're selling these trace minerals in the industry and making money off of it. 93% of the salt industry is based on sale of trace minerals. And I'll tell you, two of the most important trace minerals. This mineral right here is the philosopher's stone that these master alchemists. Paracelsus made this. Paracelsus could do biological transmutation. He could transmute lead to gold, mercury to gold by using sodium chloride. He knew this, but he never told anybody this. It was never revealed to the public because this is a secret among the doctors. Doctors will not tell a person this. This is the most important element in the nature of the magnesium chloride. And the only salt that has that in it is salt of sea salt. That's the ATCP pump, the enolithium triphosphate pump. The pumps calcium out of it. You know what calcium does when the bonding breaks down? Calcium has a matrix, just like hydrogen carbon. The calcium bonding breaks down, the calcium goes into disillusionment, and it calcifies, goes into the tissues, and the soft tissues, and hard tissues of the body, and it calcifies. It causes bone spurs on the bone, and it causes calcification. This is what hardening of the artery is due to dehydration. Because there's not enough water to maintain the matrix of the calcium bond. See, calcium has bonding just like hydrogen does. Hydrogen is bonded in the body, and when it's bonded, it's cubical. When it's cubical, it's dodecahedron. It's not good. This is what dodecahedron looks like. And that's exactly what the Earth's grid field looks like. And you're connected to the Earth's grid field. So when you become dehydrated, the Earth becomes dehydrated. When you become unbalanced, you become all electrical poles are connected. And what happens is there's a radiative and a gravitational shift of the wave, contraction-wise and expansion-wise, because of unbalance. Nature always, this is why when you become unbalanced, you affect every piece of matter in the universe. Every
and expansion-wise, because of unbalance. Nature always, this is why when you become unbalanced, you affect every piece of matter in the universe. Every piece of matter in the universe shifts to compensate for your unbalance. And the reason we have low electrical potential down here is because of negative thinking. The thought rays are ellipsoid instead of if everybody would get together and think spherical, the Earth would stand upright. The 23.5-degree angle would become upright like this. It would be on center with the sun's equator, and their consciousness level would go like this, and these aliens would evaporate. They would crawl back into the word woodwork from which they came. So every time you raise your consciousness, you're raising the consciousness of one piece of physical matter in the universe. When you raise your electrical potential in the body, you're raising the electrical potential of every piece of physical matter in the universe. And everybody asks me, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I said, raise your electrical potential. Because the brain is electrical. Thinking is an electrical process. That's why electricity doesn't exist. When you stop thinking, if universal mind ever stopped thinking, all physical matter in the universe would evaporate. But see, people become, it's not what you eat, it's what you drink. I can show you people that are 100 years old. If you take water, and if you have sufficient water, volume, and sodium in the body, you can eat anything you want.
Okay.
Because what water does is it breaks up toxins. People go on fast. I got two people that I treated. They went on a fast, and what they did is all these poisons and toxins collected in the system because they were dehydrated. What you do when you go on a fast is you dehydrate yourself if you don't drink water.
Tell me what happens when they smoke tobacco and drink coffee. Explain that to a little bit. How it poisons the body.
Well, caffeine is what caffeine does is it acts as a diuretic. And as soon as you start, the first thing people tell me is when I tell them they're dehydrated, is the first thing they tell me is, oh no, I'm not dehydrated. You're wrong. I'm not dehydrated. I said, okay, what do you drink every day? Well, I have 6 cups of coffee in the morning, and I drink two bottles of 8-ounce bottles of soda pop and of Coca-Cola in the afternoon. And then I top that off with 4 or 5 cans of beer. And what they're doing is, what alcohol does in the body is it acts as a diuretic. It's just like taking Lysak. Lysak is a $300 a bottle. And what it does is it's a diuretic. And these doctors are charging $300. I said, why don't you just open up your veins and get rid of yourself. I said, if you want to commit suicide, I said, do it knowingly. Don't do it because you lack knowledge. If you want to kill yourself, just do it. Go out there and jump off a cliff with a rope around your neck. It's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop. People are committing suicide. What you're doing, every death is a suicide. Read Sonia, she's absolutely right. It's a book called Loving Relationships, Sandra Locke. She wrote a book, and she went out with 6 highway patrolmen from California, out here in California, from Sacramento. Went out with them, she says, in 6 months, all these officers are going to be dead. What you do is you program yourself for death. All death is suicide. What people do is they go out and unconsciously. That's so you get in. You got to study Russell. Russell takes all the bull BS out of all this stuff. There's no such thing as an unconscious person. I can knock you out and you're still fully conscious. There's no such thing as being unconscious. You're always consciousness is always conscious. It never changes its consciousness. What it does is it fades in the background and becomes inoperative because it doesn't have a vehicle to function in. The consciousness is very subtle. It needs a vehicle to function in this plane. Now, the first root rays had helium bodies, and consciousness didn't have to have form to function. And carbon started at the second root rays, which is the hyperboreans. Then you had your Lemurians and Atlanteans, and the Atlanteans came in, were 20 feet tall. So I was one of the original Atlanteans from Syria. They came from Syria, and they built the pyramids. They use sound to build the pyramid. So you can do anything. And the science of the future is, the medicine of the future is going to be based on science. I have a tape that you guys ought to sit down and listen to. And what it does is, you've never, ask Lucille, it's the most powerful tape she's ever heard. Your pineal gland will vibrate, it will almost leave your head, I guarantee you. She was upstairs. The lady lives upstairs. She came down here and she said, my pineal gland is about ready to lift my head.
That's the most stagnant organ in the body, almost.
Oh, yeah. That's what the third eye is.
That's the death part. The whole rest of the system.
Did you know that? Do you know what the pineal gland is? It's a circadian indigenous oscillator. You know what that means? That's what creates the illusion of time. What it's doing is it's measuring wave reflection. You know why it does? Because it's the matrix of the central nervous system. The matrix of the central nervous system.
Synchronizes the pineal gland with time perfectly. But you wear it on your head, it puts you in perfect synchronicity with time. Well, I've had people get a headache wearing a pyramid because it's detoxing the brain and the liver simultaneously. And it creates a rhythm. You know, when people go into absolute perfect rhythm, their body starts shedding off so many toxins in the brain with the pyramid. We did a study with over 1,000 people wearing a pyramid, 1,000 of them. They all had the same results, smoking and doing drugs and alcohol. They started detoxing them. And when they finished the process, it takes about 2 years. We produce all those cells after wearing a pyramid every single day. Their mind was clearer than it was when they were children. Instantaneous verification.
See, what they're doing is you know what the pyramid is? It's a transmitter and a receiver. It's a corner. In radar, it's called a corner receiver. And the inside, the three inner planes of the cube look like this. That's a two-dimensional drawing of the three inner planes. What these do is, what the outside corner of the cube is this corner here in reverse. If you take this corner like this and lay it over like this, it looks like this. That's why they multiply. That's what a 33rd degree master mason is. A 33rd degree mason is a person that understands the nine octaves of physical matter. That's why they call them 33rd degree mason. Because well, how do you form nine octaves? By multiplying, by multiplication. And how does nature do that? It does it on an octave keyboard, if you want to use music. And what it does in the carbon octave, which is the fourth octave, what you do is you start out with lithium. And I'll draw this out like on a wave, what it looks like on a wave. So it goes like this. And what you have lithium here. That's the first potential. Then you have beryllium.
So the spaceship works with the rays, by the way, the same reaction you're going through.
That's boron, and here's carbon up here on the wave amplitude. Now on this side of the wave, this is plus one here, this is plus two. These aliens know all this. This is why it's imperative that you understand this.
And they use it against people.
Yeah.
They use their propulsion systems into the Earth's field in a reverse way. The Pleiadians don't do that, but the brains become very destructive.
They do what now?
The principles, if you look at the principles of the way their ships work, the way they create the beryllium reaction from lithium, breaking it down, that energy of a gray ship creates a negative wave on the planet, on the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And this then releases what's called astral vampirism, wherein when these ships exhibit this characteristic within the geometry, close dot geometry of the Earth, it creates astral vampirism, releasing negative energy from the fourth dimension into this dimension. And this is where the negativity is coming from. And these have become aberrations. And they're becoming more and more visible now because the vibratory rate of consciousness is changing all the time. It's increasing. So the negative energy is also increasing along with it. But it's becoming visible because of the action of the rays, allowing them to come into the fourth dimension. Normally, these are trapped. And during the full moon cycle, the first 2 weeks of the full moon, are when these energies are released. During the new moon cycle, there's a natural process in the air starts to draw back. So the creating technology takes into the system, takes into consideration the cycle and the work of the limitation of the cycle. That's what that Amiens is all about right there. If you look at the Amiens, it's standing below the pyramid. You're forced, your visual action is forced to be drawn into that. So it draws in negativity. It draws in negativity, and that crystal starts vibrating at a high rate of speed, and it changes the process of the negative consciousness into a high electromagnetic field that relates to all the members of the body. That's what the Amiens. What Snyasi gave to 1981. It's a very sophisticated device that they hang right there. Here it actually appears to form the cycle of 2.5 weeks. The other 2.5 weeks, it just sits there and it's basically useless for the moon. Right now, the Amiens is useless. It's pretty something to look at, but here in full moon, it just starts kicking ass, and then we have to ground. If you look at the one that has the living room, yesterday, a big groundwork. We look at the ceiling outside and a stake in the ground. You know, I'll give you a bit more assistance, but I'm just kind of verifying what you're saying there.
Okay, see, on the element side, this is lithium, beryllium, and boron, and carbon. And what this does is fluorine is the gas, but lithium, oxygen forms beryllium, and nitrogen is boron. See, what elements do in the octave wave scale, they form in pairs. You have a positive, this is your first positive plane, which is one. This is its position on the gyroscopic plane. If you go to the third octave, you find that the third octave, which is wave amplitude, which is a perfect cube. See, hydrogen is hexagonal. I have a picture. Russell took a picture. He had a laboratory blow up a tungsten molecule, which is tungsten is a very powerful metal. And what they did is they blew it up 2 million times, magnified it 2,700,000 times. And what they have is a perfect hexagon. You can see the water crystals in tungsten. See, everything is 85% water. As it is up above, so it is down below. 85% hydrogen. And what these aliens are doing is dehydrating everything. They're dehydrating you. Who do you think runs all these Coca-Cola bottling companies that produce all these soft drinks? They're heretics.
It's okay now. Coca-Cola in 1928. That was where that was looked at. That's what caffeine is. Cocaine comes from the word mama, Coca, which was Mahatma, which is a misuse of the third ray. If you take cocaine in its natural form as a plant, it becomes a healing energy to the body occasionally in South America. But see, up here it's totally abused because it's used the wrong way.
Okay. Is there any questions? Does everybody understand it?
What are those words under carbon? That's
cool. Oh, this is fluorine, oxygen, and nitrogen.
No.
Oh.
Hey, Dean, have you written this stuff up? As you're presenting it yet in any form, I wish you'd write this up because in my new book I'd like to incorporate this. Because this marries, this is a very nice chemical explanation of how our system technology works without even going to give. I'm not a voice saying the same thing. I like your style. So write this up, I'll put it in my book.
See, this is where you want to be up here. Yeah. This is where the cube is.
Yeah, see, all of distortion. You know, if you take it, like when I was sticking the glue in some of these spacers, then they had a leak above something, the carbon atoms distort. Immediately, the geometry of the carbon atoms distort. When that geometry distorts, the DNA collapses. And so the oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen can't marry itself any longer in cellular destruction. And that's the beauty of the receptor. When you wear the receptor, it prevents that distortion. You're still going to handle that gas from that glue, that toxic toxicity going through your body. But now, the geometry is not being distorted by toxicity any longer, and your body can process. If you've got a process, that's the beauty of the nuclear receptor.
That's why people are aging.
They're
destroying the cue pattern.
Yeah.
That's why Russell says, if you don't understand the invisible universe, you can't understand the visible. You see how when he explained the invisible, because the invisible is controlling the visible universe. And when they manipulate the invisible universe, you manipulate the effect. You control effect with cause.
And the other thing about the Pleiadians, what they divide in time, the time and the presence of energy in this color, is coloration and the sound configuration. And so in the morning, the hydrogen atom is polarized to red, fires off the pineal gland, the will to get out of bed and we'll do something, the violet. And at night, when the sun sets, violet is there to shut down the physical system and go into the spiritual consciousness. And that's what the system was all about last night. And the systems that we had, like you guys were writing last night, is enhancing that. Everything is motion, everything is in color. The chakras are always changing color. There is no set color for chakras like people try to define in New Age.
Right.
Totally erroneous. And well, the only way that there's a similarity of chakras, and they start out red at the top and violet at the bottom, that changes immediately. And your personality determines your polarity of your colors. So if people are, or night people are polarizing violet, so the chakras are violet all over the place at night, you know. This is a shift you have to get in touch with, and this is where Jeff is. We need to get in touch with the shift. And the whole world, everything that you eat, almost all processed foods, every sound that you hear, unless it's a sound of nature, is contradictory to the natural progression of the hydrogen atom through the daily life.
Okay, let me do this real fast. This in music, this is how you reproduce helium. Helium is the keynote. In music, the keynote, every note in music contains the keynote. The keynote never leaves music. Hilbert, he understands. The keynote of helium is C note. It goes C, D, E, F, G. And then what it does is, when it gets up to the fourth octave, which is right here, this is the zero point. This is the zero point that everybody talks about. It reverses itself. It goes G, F, E, D, C. Now if I use Do, Re, Mi, it goes Do, it's a key note, Re, Mi, Fa, Fa, and then this is Sol. Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol. And then it goes Sol, Fa, Mi, Re, Do.
Palladian sound signatures, their shifts, are keynoted in E and the keynoted in G. These are the two main signatures in Palladian music, E and G.
Okay, this is red, violet. This is red. I'm doing this from memory, so I'm trying to get this. This is orange. This is yellow. And this is white. is white here. And this is, I believe this is blue here, green, and this is blue violet.
I see it green, yeah. You got it right.
Blue violet, that's what Russell draws all this out. He draws the cone ring out. The ring
is going to pretty damn good contact. He is a perfect country. I knew that was getting this information from Max Dressler, but I thought it was an illusion, you know, the way he presented it, you know, a lot of this stuff.
He was getting it from Russell. Everybody understand
us last night. I was getting out when I'm running the lasers, and the lasers, the astral energy, right down this little plane, was right for us. And I noticed the different songs of the land is how people behave. And as you can see, I had total control of that entire group last night, even though there was all kinds of people there laying from the seminar and visiting, but total control. And at the last song, everybody thought, oh my God, a whole hour has gone by. It's kind of drawn out. And I hit that last song, which is called Rishi, which has the drum and the ship on it. You hear the big one, it goes boom, boom, boom. You hear that was drum and ship. Recorded directly on tape by Liara. That was not done with a synthesizer. That was done with a piece of blank tape laid on the platform. The drum was beamed their energy right into it, and that's the opening of that tape, Rishi. And then we used the Tibetan. We used the Tawala, you know. And then Michael had his guitar and some chords that you don't normally hear. And I played the synthesizer. When I played that last song, the whole audience, even though I'd been laying there for a while, was totally amped. You know what I'm saying? And nobody, when the last note of the last song stopped, nobody wanted it to stop. They wanted it to go on forever. That's Palladium technology. That's Palladium. And you were right into the vortex.
Mm-hmm.
All that first part of that song, Atlantis, was evolved through the water, was clearing out your chakra. It starts out slow. We heard the dolphins in the second song. We got into that next song where I remember I took the crystal, I broke down the $7 of the rainbow right out of the laser light with a macro. You know, that starts to mirror your light body with your sound body. Everything I was doing in there was for a reason. It wasn't just something that I spontaneously did. That was planned for about 10 years, that show. And when people get to the end of it, they don't want to stop. They want to go on forever. That's what it's supposed to be, you know. It's eternity. And that's the way when you ride a Palladian ship and they play that kind of music inside there, and you look it out and watch that horizon move somewhere below the speed of light, it's awesome. That last night,
the
blue tape was all about.
The keynote is color of black. Black contains all the colors of the rainbow. The black hole is where reality is. If you want to look, here's what reality really is. It looks like this.
Hey, Gene, you know where a black hole? You know, I mean, this is something a lot of people don't know. You know, when something is swallowed into a black hole, you know where it comes out? In a cell called the amphiplegia, which is a seed, it's a form of seed. When energy is transmitted and swallowed up in a black hole, it's transmitted into a seed. That's where the seed gets its energy. Mm-hmm. The seed is the most powerful food that you can eat. And it's the termination of energy swallowed up by a black hole. Pleiadians.
Excuse me. I think we're losing 80% of the groups really only wants to break the lunch. I think we still have like time after lunch too and everything.
That's the circuit from the fourth dimension to infinity, right down here. See? Now, and what happens is the Earth aura, you know, if you were to take the group of people we have in here, and combine their aura frequencies, this would probably be a harmonious aura pattern, overall field pattern from the individualization all combined. But as soon as you step outside the door, out in the street out there, you're going to get hit with the auric field of everybody else in town. Okay? And they're connected to everybody else all over across the country. Okay? And what happens is, when you have, remember I explained yesterday that when you have two or more people, you create the astral plane, right? Or you have a whole community of people, you create a whole astral plane of these entities. Okay, in a nation, you end up with a national aura, which they call, in this country, the Spirit of America. And that spirit is an entity in itself. It is a It is an entity into itself. It's a thinking creature into itself. The Spirit of America is. If you look at the different chakra points within a nation, when the feedback comes from the astral plane to the chakra points in an area, it magnetically resonates through the blood, like we were talking about yesterday, which is also magnetic. This affects chakras in the body, depending on the locale, and it goes into speech patterns. So that's why you'll have accents from different parts of the country, because it's direct feedback of the magnetic moments, or the moments of energy, that are dropping into the consciousness of the person that's living in that area, the minerals. And remember, your body is what percent minerals? 5%, and it controls 95% of you. That's why it's important. So the next problem that we have, this is a normal thing. Each country in this world has an aura field, depending on the citizens of it, the summation of it, and the summation of all the countries in the world creates the Earth aura field. Okay, but unfortunately, the Earth aura field is not harmonious. What's controlling this planet right now is not the same kind of energy as the combination of the people in this room. It's the opposite. It's a demonic energy. It's a destructive energy. It's called the Graves Hermit as the growth-resistant generation, quote-unquote. That's directly out of Graves' mouth. And so what happens is this negative aura field that controls the Earth is out of synchronization with the aura field of the solar system. The solar system and all the planets and the sun are harmonious in the universe, but the Earth is a big cancer in the scheme of things because of its people. Okay? So now the Earth is rotating with the Earth around the Pleiades. It's coming into a more stellar influence, putting pressure on all the chakras and the endocrine glands and all the humans on the planet, and this pressure is negative. And so as a result of that, during certain planetary alignments, when usually during the full moon period, the Earth breaks down in frequency and sends tremendous energy down into the core of the sun. It's like the reverse of a black hole. When the core of the sun gets this negative energy rush from the Earth, it belches out what are called solar flares. These solar flares extend into space and create what's known as a solar wind. And when this hits the feedback on the aura fields of the Earth, people living on the Earth, it sends a negative energy down into the core of the Earth. The core of the Earth shifts violently. It comes out through the tectonic action and creates earthquakes. Okay? That's where earthquakes come from. So, it was becoming necessary to change the frequency of the Earth. You have all these idiots living in Southern California and everywhere else with all these negative prophecies. The Andromedans came here and began a process called divine intervention, wherein they have gone into the moments and changed events. And there will be no big earthquake. There will be no cataclysms in California, now, ever, at any time. There will only be gradual shifts that we are experiencing. The night of the Northridge quake, which was January 17th at 4:31 in the morning, to be exact, was a quake created by Liara and her crew. We were told 2 hours in advance that there would be a giant stabilizing shift. And if you ask my wife where she was at 4:31 in the morning, she'll tell you that she was laying on her back inside of our pyramid, fully wide awake, having been awakened by me at 4:15 in the morning. And she had one of these things right here shoved up into the base of her spine so that she wouldn't go into a fear when the house started shaking. Okay. I had called several of my friends that night and told them that the Andromedans were working the vortex in the house, and when they work the vortex, the Earth shakes. It's happened. This is the second time it's happened directly when we knew about it. You know, this time they specifically, if you look at the in the living room where those speakers are,
previous to that earthquake, I didn't have those two speakers mounted on the wall on the side where the flames are. I had some other speakers. That night, the environmentalist told me before the earthquake to remove them out of my house, which I did, and take everything that was sitting on and put them on the floor so they wouldn't get damaged when the house shook. So this is through my intervention. And they are told me that this was a friendly quake. I think only 40 people were killed, or 39 people were killed. Some loss of life was necessary. They chose Washington's birthday as a holiday. They chose 431 specifically because it is an 8. They chose the 17th of January because it was also an 8. And they were very concerned with numerology. And they knew that there would be a minimum loss of life. And if that quake hadn't happened, we would have had some serious quakes. Anyone that goes around trying to pull out prayer points from Nostradamus and explain these prophecies of negative energy are total idiots and should be destroyed. They're only manifestations of the dark force through screeching human mouths that are just trying to instill more terror on this planet. And you should not listen to them. You should laugh at them, because they need to be laughed at. There is nothing to fear. The Dramatists made another intervention. They've done several things. In September of last year, I think it was 7 years into the year 2000, they came down and they shifted the animal Mundi frequency of the Earth half of 1 degree. This means that when you go to sleep at night and you align up to the aura field of the Earth before the shift is made, instead of getting a negative charge off of the Earth or a negative aura field, when they make this half a degree shift, when you go to sleep at night with the systems in this consciousness, you will start getting healthy sleep again. This only started a year ago. The opposite of that, because they have made this shift, this has created a radionic transfer, like when we wear this receptor and it creates an aura field down into your aura field. In other words, a perfect ray of clear light, depending on the color of the gem, going down into the aura field of a human to stabilize the hydrogen atom, which we've been working on. It's the exact same thing they did to the planet. They have actually made a receptor-like device which works through the vortexes. They've injected it through the 891 Santa Ana location, and those of you who saw those pictures in that new book I'm writing was in the book, shows the vortex, how it works, how the system comes out of the Earth, forms a dorji. The Dalai Lama has already acknowledged that that's what those systems do. The quad system does the same thing. The system 3 does a bigger dorji, a bigger field. And where you were last night is causing historical moments to happen worldwide. That is a historical place where I live. There have been many masters come there. The master that came there, the Rasta Prince that I was talking about at lunchtime, lit those flames that you saw in there. There's never been shoes worn in that house since it was built, and those candles have never gone out since the Tibetan master lit them. They've been burning in there for 15 years. We just rotate the candles. We've never lost the flame up there. Okay. Sai Baba comes there. He's been seen in the house. He talks about our house in his ashram. Other masters have been there. A master by the name of Sarinjava Roy. The way I got that house, it was a gift. And I had the ashram in 2401 Laurel Canyon with the master. I met a guy by the name of Alan Schwartz who was studying under Sarinjava Roy. Sarinjava Roy is the one that purified Haight-Ashbury in 1966, and started all the LSD movement, purified it, took them all the way through drugs, and made the real estate values go up. When Sarinjava Roy was living here, he also, by the way, when he exited, I was present, he exited exactly the same way that Yogananda did, conscious exit of the body. He sat down, surrender thy heart, surrender the soul into thy heart. There's a whole mantra that you use, and instantly go out of your body. That's how he transcended. He told Alan Schwartz. Alan Schwartz was one of the most powerful attorneys, practiced with Harry Weissman, Shapiro, all the ones you see in the news. They were all a band. They were all friends of mine. They were all under Father at that time. That's why these attorneys are so powerful. Now, they all studied under the same master.
Alan Schwartz, when we disbanded the ashram, told me that I had to go back to Laguna Beach. His father said I had to go back to Laguna Beach. And I said, I don't want to. I want to go back to Laguna Beach. I want to rent a house. I don't want to own anything. I don't want to. This time I had renounced all material wealth in my life. And he says, I'm going to give you this house. You must accept it and you must live there. So I said, okay. So they gave me the house. You know, I had made payments on it, but he gave me the money, bought the place, and then I started paying it back. It was part of an estate, and it's in the trust right now, as we speak. It's not even in my name, it's in the trust. I won't have it in my name, but I do own it, because it's not my house. It's a temple, and it belongs to the people of the world that respect it. And those of you that were last night, you know, were there, and you can ask Lucille if I'm fussy. If somebody comes in with shoes on in the house, I will physically throw them over the railing. That's how much protection. And I'm stuck to guard this place for who knows how long. But we've had many extraterrestrial visits there. And it's a very clear place. And when you start putting in a system in your house, wherever you are, you will link with this system as you will link with all different systems in the world. In the bottom of those, where those radiators, in the bottom of those are rocks. We use local rocks to feed into the system. There are rocks from Sedona, Arizona, in that system. There are rocks from temples in Athens and temples in all over Greece in that system. There's rocks in that system that came from the well, the chalice of the Holy Grail. It's hidden in Glastonbury, England. Physically, rocks removed from that well are in that house. That house contains a tremendous amount of energy. And you can feel that. And it networks all over the world. When the Andromedans made this shift in 1993, they told me that they would shift a half a degree per year the Earth's magnetic field. And what would happen is it would begin to destroy all of the people's auras that are negative, and including them themselves. And by the year 2000, there would be a 4-degree shift of the Earth's magnetic field into consciousness, meaning that the people that would inherit the age of this Earth would be alive and well in the year 2000, and the rest of them would be dead. Okay? So this has happened. And so at night, when people that are greedy, like George Bush and people like that in the secret government, when they go to sleep at night, they don't get the same charge that we do. Before, we weren't getting the same charge. We were getting a negative dose of them. Now they're getting a positive dose of us. And they're either going to survive it or they're going to die from it. If they die from it, they will not be allowed to go into their heaven worlds. All religions will cease to exist by the year 2000. The Catholic Church will be a joke. The Baptists, the Jesus freaks, the born-agains will all be a joke. Our religion will be destroyed by the year 2000. And the Andromedans are orchestrating this destruction. You can see it before your very eyes. And all systems will crumble, and the mark of the beast will be dissolved. The mark of the beast is now. It's in our society. You can watch it when you watch the O.J. Simpson soaps. That's the mark of the beast. Ted Turner instrumented that with CNN, and there's nothing wrong with it. Instantaneous. If the Pope farts, you'll see it on television 5 minutes later. That's the mark of the beast. The exposure of everything. There will be no numbering of people on their foreheads. There will be no exodus. There will be no extraterrestrials coming here exiting this world. None of that will occur. Everything that you hear about is bullshit. The revelation is being orchestrated by the graves. Society, religion, negative prophets will tell you repeatedly that this is the revelation in the Bible. The Bible is a joke, and everybody knows it, but it's a perfect comic book, and it's a perfect description of this joke. When people lose their lives because they're not paying attention to detail in the next 6 years as it is now, what will happen is they will be launched on the astral plane, and they will not be allowed to reincarnate back on the physical planes. Only new souls coming up through the group oversoul will be allowed to incarnate. These souls will be trapped in limbo, they'll have no heaven, they'll have no hell, and they will bear witness. And this is called the Great White Throne Judgment Day. The Pleiadians talk about it emphatically. This is going on now. This is why you talk about somebody that's in real hell right now. The president of North Korea just died of a heart attack. He's in hell right now, realizing his creation. And this country is going to go to hell until it gets rid of this nuclear threat. Things like this are going down. And there's no stopping it. Each hour as it ticks by, the vibratory frequency of this planet is coming online, and this planet will have less and less earthquakes and more quakes in people's minds. Okay? This is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're raising it. Exactly. It's not lowering, it's raising now. And you can see it. And it's, you know, the O.J. Simpson thing is going to be the most bizarre thing in history. And as soon as that's over with and that's finished, another incident's going to happen, just as big or not bigger. And it's going to be continuously like that until the year 2000. In 1995, the entire world populace will be aware of the Andromedans. Every single person on this planet will know of their presence. That's only 6 months away. Okay? They don't fool around. The first time they showed me divine intervention, they scared the... I run scared. I mean, you think I'm confident? I'm scared half the time. Not fear of dying or fear of anything, but there's a tremendous platform about death on this planet that's very negative. Don't get caught in it. Because people are afraid to die now. Because they know subconsciously they aren't going to heaven. They're not going to hell. They're going nowhere. Okay? So you don't get caught in that platform. It's a very negative one. Just realize that eternal life is coming here to this planet, and we're all waking up in joy and bliss consciousness. So one night in January, 2 years ago, in 1989, 3 years ago now, time goes fast up there on the hill, they are said, we're going to show you one of the greatest amounts of divine intervention you'll ever see in your life. This is when they were beginning to teach me. It was in 1989 they began to teach me this. And I started my tape series, I think it was 1991, January 15th. Leara told me, because the drama immersed me in politics. I hate politics. I've been a politician subconsciously, but I've mostly been a scientist and a musician. Now I was forced to go into politics, in the world of politics, where I'm very active. I just don't talk about it in my seminars. But a lot of politicians, people you know their names, use our systems, including the Babylon, as I was explaining to some of the people. These systems are used all over the damn place. Even the president of TM of America up there in his big mansion has got a huge system hidden away in a room, you know. They're everywhere because people are tuning in. So she told me all about the Iraqi war. She told me that was going to start in January. She told me why. It was a threat. It was more of this bullshit to take away our national freedoms. But you can't take away national freedoms. When you can't take away a nation that's due to inherit itself, its own spiritual divinity, you know. So she told me, you know, to brace myself in 1989. And how many of you were in the kitchen last night, that little kitchen where the sink is? Okay, I stood, she told me to hold on, and she backed me in to the kitchen, and I had to hold on to the sink, you know, and put my feet on the floor. And then performed some kind of an action. I don't know what it was, but it discontinued. You know, we were talking about the Bohr effect. This is in your bodies. How 1 minute your copper, your hemoglobin is an iron. You know, and it becomes a plus two, and it becomes a plus three, and a plus two is copper cupric, meaning that if you were to take a frying pan and you were to rub it and hold it up into the air, it would start to rust. That's the way your blood is. That's why it turns brown. But this is controlled by enzymes. This is the Bohr effect. It's a rhythm that keeps you alive. The frequency is generated from the pineal gland in the head. And when that frequency goes awry, then your blood no longer can switch cupric to copper, and you start to die and all the things he was taught. It's all part of the death cycle. So the Andromedans came, and they said, you know, because I know this, and you're learning it, that right now we're here in this moment. There's nothing beyond this room. There's nothing beyond this town. Nothing exists beyond us. The only thing that's holding us in our individual places is tradition. Tradition being that once upon a time we were all one, now we've separated. Now we're all one again. That's the only thing that keeps us apart. There's no past, there's only the present, there's only now. This is the way the Andromedans think, and this is the way it is. There is no guarantee that if I drop this, it's going to land on the floor. Maybe it landed, maybe it didn't. It doesn't matter. It did now because you expected it to, and expectation held this thing in place, in form, and that's why it hit the ground. If you didn't expect it to, it would have disappeared out of my hands. Christ used to use this power when he disappeared. When he stand in front of somebody, they start to stone him, he disappeared. Boom. At the well of Samaria was an example. Same energy, same teachers, same energy.
Well, we sort of ran out of time on that one. That was a real good one. I'm going to see if that will flip over. We'll run the other side of it. That's a good one. I really like that one.
Flip. Right. There we go. Came in again. Slowed down. Went. So imagine you're here and the whole world around you, and you're the only thing that's not moving. Turn 360 degrees. It's just that we are now making an intervention into every single atom of this planet has just changed its frequency. Half your historical past doesn't even exist anymore. And this is how they do it. Boom. And it stops. And I just about passed out. And I went over and I got a gallon of water out. And I said, I got to detox quick. And then I drank a full gallon of water in one swig just to get grounded from that.
Are they using machinery?
They don't say what they use. I know. See, when I was a contactee of the Pleiadians, the way that the contact would start is that I'd feel a chill on my body, like a wind. I would see hair on my arm, and my head would start to get the prick, you know, start prickling up. And then I would have a female, like, you know, when you see a pretty girl or a pretty guy from a girl's point of view, that energy that comes over you, especially if you're 19 years old and you've had two drinks, that same sexual rush, you know, that would come over me, and then I'd hear a separate voice, her voice, Sannyasi's voice, very soft, completely different from my thoughts. There was no doubt it was a female voice, and I felt female, like tantric energy all over me. That was the way that was really nice. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that. When the Andromedans started communicating with me, they said it would be holographically, and they would disassemble the geometry of my DNA, all my atoms would be dematerialized simultaneously. And I would have to expect that, and it would take me a while before it would become comfortable. So the first time they did it to me, to put this knowledge into me, because it's not a flow of events, like with a contact from the Pleiadian, the way they do it, they send an energy down to you, it registers in the cells and in your brain and different places in your body, and later on when the contact is over, if you take verbal notes or written notes, later on you kind of channel the information out of your body, you're unchanneling yourself. Okay, it's basically what it is. That's the way Billy Myers always did it. You'd have a recall of stuff that was happening so fast over the period of several months. With the Andromedans, it's instantaneous recall at any point in time. At any time you need it, it's there. There's no waiting. There's no getting into the mood. You know, I could be digging a hole or putting a fence post in or running or driving my car on a freeway or screaming at somebody. It just comes and it's there and you need it and it's now. It's different. But when the process starts, when they first started initiating you into the process, you know how your hand goes to sleep, or your leg, and it's numb? Imagine your whole body going to sleep instantaneously. You're numb. You can't move. You're frozen. And this tremendous vibration, this pressure, it's like they put me inside of it would be like if you were to put a that thick of a glass over you and put about 2,000 pounds per square inch of pressure in there. It would take it's vibrating and then it's jamming this into your DNA. And the first time I had it, I thought I was having a seizure or a heart attack. I don't know what it was. I went out and got every kind of medical test you could possibly get after that. And the heart just laughed. There's nothing wrong with it. You get used to it. And then when the numbness stopped, I could close my eyes. Now, I don't know if you saw a picture. I think there's a picture on the mantle up there. I mean, I haven't seen it lately, but it's there. It's up on that I did. My hand became an auto writer, and I just closed my eyes like Blavatsky used to do it, and not even look what I'm doing. I can write and draw pictures because they just take over. And I did that a few times for me to get used to it, and then the process is so smooth now I don't even notice it's happening because I'm used to it now. It's like it's there, it's happening, and suddenly I realize it just happened. It doesn't scare me anymore, but it was very frightening in the beginning. But they said that's necessary. I asked her, I said, in 89, when Sannyasi told me that she was leaving, I asked her why she was leaving, and she said that the Pleiadians cannot, you know, the Earth people give off what's called an auric stench. In other words, it's this negative energy. Even if you're a fairly healthy, nice, decent person, you still, to them, have an auric stench. And so, if you understand what I was talking about longevity and auras, and what he was saying, is if you're around people with short-term auras for any length of time, your short-term auras, your DNA is going to be registering that, and you're going to start getting shorter and shorter to life. So a Pleiadian can only serve here in this aura field of this Earth and around people for 10 or 15 years, otherwise they're going to die. They're going to have a very short life, and they're going to get sick and fall apart. So they have to leave. So they rotate and they come in groups. When they come in, this group comes and another group leaves. But as a race, they can only come so for so long. When a planet is going into transition like we are, they can't be here for that. Why? Because if they are here interfering or helping out or trying to perform some divine intervention thing, they'll create so much negative karma that they'll destroy the entire race. Their civilization will be destroyed, you know. And anytime you see channeling from the Pleiades, you know, a lot of it's bullshit. I'll tell you that right now. The Pleiadians are very, they have fights, they get arguments. Sannyasi's brother does not like me. He's never liked me. He hates me. But we don't go to war over it. We just don't get along. His name was Ketzel. And one time, she allowed me to fly her ship out in New Mexico. He almost had a heart attack over it. You know, I mean, it just didn't agree with him. But Sannyasi let me do different things to understand, you know, certain things that were necessary in the teachings. So they are human. They have emotions. They just live a little bit longer and a little bit more calm. But I tell you, you don't want to piss one off. You know, they carry a weapon system. You know, when Pleia, Sannyasi's sister, came out to Billy Meyer one day, Billy Meyer was riding his moped, and so Pleia wanted to ride it. And the Pleiadians, they don't like, they're not supposed to drive cars and motorcycles here, but Pleia ended up on the motorcycle. And she got to drive it around over in the hills in outside of Zurich, there where Billy lives. So then, after she drove the motorcycle around for 2 hours, and her father had a fit over it, she comes back and hands him a ray gun. And so he starts shooting holes in trees with her ray gun. And I've got photographs of it at home, the ray gun and the trees and the holes and all that. I just didn't think it was apropos for this seminar to show you the Pleiadian weaponry, but they have it, and I've seen it. And so they are armed and dangerous if you don't want to mess with them. But they are not going around, and their overall purpose is to help the world. You know, they have a life space. Their vibratory rate of error is so great that they have what's called an S-carved flute. An S-carved flute is when you do a trispasso, left eye to left eye, and fire breathing, like I was telling you yesterday. They have an S-carved flute, and two people blow into a flute simultaneously, and they have to harmonize their breath, and they get zero sound out of it. But the sound is so beautiful that it causes light to liquefy. And so when S-carved flutes are being played, light turns into liquid, and it goes around corners and stuff. I mean, it's really bizarre, some of the stuff they've got, and we could have it here if we clean up this vibratory rate a little bit. So anyhow, Sannyasi told me that she lost her husband on Pluto 20 years ago doing some mining out there, because they mine dead planets. They don't mine living planets. That's stupid. And her dad was getting ready to go, and the whole group was leaving, and they were finished here. And so what is happening now? You know, am I going to have more Pleiadians? He says, no, you'll have no more Pleiadian contacts in this life that we know of. Maybe occasionally we'll say hello or something from some distance. And there's certain things that happened that I learned since then. She did come back one night a year later and stand in a bush behind me up here at top of the world, because I was depressed, you know, after having gone 20 years without, you know, and then nothing, you know, it's kind of depressing. So she came back and stood in the bushes and talked to me up there on top of the world. But that was a little bit of a surprise. But other than that, I mean, no real things are going on, and that's very rare that something like that would happen. And so I said, well, why are you leaving? You know, she explained not only is her group leaving, but overall the main Pleiadian influence has to leave this world now, and the Andromedans have to come. And I knew that the Andromedans, I'd read about them, and Paul Hernandez, who was Petrero's right-hand man in Mexico. And I had an interface with Petrero several years ago when he was the king of Mexico, or he was the governor, the president of Mexico. I'd had...
Well, we ran out of time. We'll continue this next week. I know this is a good one. Okay, next week it is.